In this episode, we look at an alternative idea for dealing with money and how crafting and law skills can be promoted in your campaigns. Welcome to the Mithras Matters podcast, season 1, episode 48, Gaining Wealth and Limiting Crafting. And welcome to Mithras Matters, a podcast dedicated to the Mithras rule set and all its supplements. As always, I'm your host Inwills, and welcome to August. I was streaming my GM prep on YouTube the other day, and I suddenly got thinking about past games and what started my journey into the world of role-playing games. Preparing my sessions online while streaming live is so helpful, but also quite daunting. Apart from the numerous spelling mistakes I make as I type them up, it seems like I am revealing my creative process to everyone who is watching. It is as if we are taking a secret tour of my innermost imagination. As a GM, I think we are all quite naturally devious, not in a nasty way, but plot lines and story arcs often have a twist, and we not only think of these, but also implement them. Once I had got over exposing my creative processes live, I have to say that it was a very positive process. It is so interesting when people in the chat add suggestions and possible encounters, and I weave these into the storyline. There is, of course, a proviso at the start of the stream saying that I will not be including everyone's idea in the adventure. I can't include everyone's suggestions, but I do store many of them up for future use. As a GM, I think we rarely share our ideas for adventures, and I have to say it's been very beneficial for me and my creative process doing it all live. It also makes me sit down and spend a productive hour creating. If you ever want to catch me live, then just make sure you are subscribed to my YouTube channel and have notifications turned on. I've lost track now. What were you talking about? Oh yes, past games. I did some live streams in the past about games I have played, and I was interested to see whether you are of my era and remember some of the lesser known games that I've played. You might have more to add to the pot, so do let me know in the comments or on Discord. I'm going to remove all Dungeons & Dragons games. I think these are probably a staple for us all. Surely everyone has played them at some point during their RPG journey. Here are some others, and do you remember them? Okay, first up, Tunnels and Trolls. From what I can remember, the combat procedure for this was that you added up everyone's attacks and then added everyone's defense, and then the one who had more won. And also, I remember a fantastic spell called Take That, You Fiend. Epic. And did anyone travel through time correcting mistakes in the timeline with the game Time Master? I played this a lot at university. I was a Greek soldier that was superb at acrobatics, a skill that got me out of a few very difficult situations. And what about the funny paranoia? I think you had clones in that game, so you could die numerous times. Also, I think there was like a Big Brother watching theme throughout. Now, I only played this game once, but I did play Judge Dredd, so much fun with that game, especially the ammunition and learning the laws. I especially used to enjoy administrating the do not drive under a specified speed limit law. Sometimes I wish that was a law in real life. And before we move on, we have to mention Rollmaster and Middle Earth, and of course RuneQuest. The latter was a favourite of mine. I enjoyed the combat system, and the way runes were incorporated into the game was excellent. I'm sure in the example text in a side column, there was an example when someone fumbled and nearly broke their leg. Those were the days. Anyway, enough reminiscing. Let's get on to some of the other topics in this month's podcast. Later on, I want to talk about knowledge and crafting skills, but before that, let's talk about money and wealth. Okay, so money and wealth, and don't panic. Was that in paranoia as well? I'm not going to talk about the cost of living or the exchange rate. You see, I have a real problem with money and wealth in all of my campaigns, something that I've recently been trying to work and develop. But before I go on, I have to say huge thanks to Alex Green and Matt E. for their ideas and publications. They have really supported and molded my thinking about wealth in my own campaigns. So if you have the opportunity, do talk to them both and check out their ideas and publications. You might have guessed if you have watched my Gibbering GM video for this month that I dislike micromanaging things. I just think there are better things to spend our time on within the role-playing session. As you can imagine, I am never keen on tracking how many gold or silver pieces characters have and where these are located, whether in a pouch, a chest, or some other type of banking situation. Coupled with this, playing M-Space, the amount of money is increased considerably, with credits being available for anything from ammunition to the Class A Star Destroyer. If you haven't bought, read or played Destined yet, do so, since there's a really great system called Allotments that works really well in that game to do with equipment and wealth. But I wanted to create something new and something for M-Space in particular. So what I've done is that I've created and implemented a new skill. I've brought in a skill called Wealth. This has a starting value of intelligence plus power. Before I go any further, please do not think this wealth skill is a direct representation of credits. 1% wealth does not equal or represent 1,000 credits. Inspired by Alex Green, I've gone for more of an abstract approach. First, I have to say that some items you always have money for. For example, buying ammunition for your weapons, buying simple or basic weapons and equipment, board and lodgings, you get the general idea. Second, there are two wealth skills, individual character wealth and the party's wealth. The latter is created by players donating their own wealth points to the party's wealth skill. So initially, I'm thinking that the wealth skill will only ever increase unless a fumble happens, but I'm still working on that. In our M-Space campaign, the party is paid for doing jobs. Therefore, when discussing payment, a successful opposed negotiation roll will increase the wealth skill by 1d4 plus 1%, similar to experience rolls. This can be an addition to the party wealth or split between the characters. If the player doing the negotiation fumbles, then this roll, the 1d4 plus 1, will then be removed from a wealth skill. And if the negotiation roll is a critical success, then the 1d4 plus 1% is rolled and then it is doubled. The question you are probably thinking about is, if you can pay items, if you can gain items without money, where does the wealth skill actually come in? Well, the wealth skill can be used to augment other roles. These roles are generally related to when the skill is to do with buying things, which fall outside the usual free to purchase items. For example, if the party want to buy something on the black market or when trying to buy items above the tech level of the current world, they would be able to use their wealth skill to augment their role. It could also be used to augment skills such as bribery or forgery. My plan is to allow it to augment any skills where the players present a reasonable case for it to be used. And of course, the GM's word is final here. This augmentation of a skill could be helpful for a character if the difficulty grade has been increased for any reason. I am hoping that this skill will eliminate some of what I call the daily drudge of credits or money in general, without removing the importance of cash in the game. So what do you think? If Alex and Matt are listening in, it would be great if we can organise a roundtable chat to thrash out some of the complexities or present flaws and probably refine the general idea of wealth. And if there is a system already in place that I've overlooked in the rules, 1,000 apologies. And if you would like to come and join that roundtable chat or any of the other chats that we have, then please do email me at inrules@gmail.com or send me a message on the various forums I frequent or in the Discord. We are always looking for people to contribute to the podcast, whether that be through reviews, interviews, or chats. So if you're interested, just let me know. So next up, crafting and lore skills. So two skills in all campaigns that I really like are the crafting skill and the knowledge or lore skill. I feel that these have so much potential and can add so much to campaigns and actually allow players to create their own items, including the possibility of higher quality weapons and armors. However, I am very bad at allowing players to use doing skills to cover possible knowledge or lore skills. For example, in M space, someone with the sensor skill, I would allow to roll that if they were inquiring about a different type of sensor equipment that they had found on a ship. Or someone with invocation skill, allow them to roll that for information about the other orders of the sorcerers. Initially, I was going to increase the difficulty level of the lore roll, but with their skill level so high, this doesn't really seem to have an impact at all. So here are some of the ideas that I'm using at the moment. Let me know what you think. And please, if you've already got established systems in place that are successful, do let me know. Okay, so currently I'm considering that in the instances where characters are using active skill to represent a knowledge or lore skill, that I create a second skill, that knowledge or lore skill, at a level that is initially lower than their active skill. Let me give you an example of that because it might seem a little bit complicated. So for example, if a character has a devotion of 50%, they would automatically start with a law of religion skill at 25%. After this point, the two would have to be increased separately. This would mean that the players did not need to use additional experience rolls to gain the skill, but could increase them after this point. The same could be said for some skills and a similar crafting skill. For example, would a character with an archery-style combat skill have some knowledge and understanding of crafting arrows and simple bows? In this way, a similar approach to the specialization of skills in Shadowrun could be implemented. So the archer would have their combat skill, then half of that would be their knowledge of bows and arrows, and then half of that again, one quarter of the original skill, would be their crafting skills for bows and arrows. This hierarchy of skills would not always be possible, but would encourage the knowledge and the crafting skills, I think, to be used in the game. It would also provide suitable alternatives for when people are tired of buying items they need on the black market or want to exercise their own creative flair and start to create their unique items. And this brings me on to another idea that I have, which involves some limitations on the crafting skill. While players might be ploughing experience rolls into improving their crafting skill, I feel that there needs to be a limiter. Initially, this could be the cost and availability of items, but I think that their knowledge or lore skill role is important here as well. In order to craft items, you need to know some understanding of the theories and crafting techniques. Because of this, I am thinking about saying that the crafting skill is limited by the character's knowledge or lore skill. I've been thinking about this for a long time and suddenly thought that this might already be in the rules and I might have missed it. So if it is, then do let me know. I think with both the crafting and lore skill, the players can add another dimension to their characters. It also allows them to have a valid and productive use during their downtimes in campaigns. As a player, if I ever get the opportunity to play in a long-lasting campaign, I would really like the idea that while we were playing in another campaign setting, my previous character was working away, researching and creating something new that would be brought into the game when we return to that campaign. Lore and crafting skills also provide a wealth of adventure ideas, from finding and harvesting raw resources to actually creating specific items. They also provide the opportunity for characters to continue on in their campaign when everyone fancies a restart and new characters are created. Their previous characters become crafters or lore merchants, or they still have that presence in the campaign. If you have your own crafting and knowledge systems in your campaigns, then please do get in touch. It would be great to have a few people together to chat about possible ways to integrate both of these skills into campaigns. And that's it, another episode of Mithras Matters completed. Don't forget you can check out all my content by following my YouTube channel and the campaign areas on World Anvil. I really appreciate your support and do check out the Tapper Talk forums and Discord. There are some great people there sharing their ideas within the discussions. So until next time, have a great month of gaming, everyone, and I will chat to you all again in September. Until then, I hope all your opposed worlds succeed and provide you with a well-deserved special. Thanks for listening, everyone. See ya. Bye. The content of this podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, so please give appropriate credit if you are sharing or copying any part of this podcast. Thank you.